Well, good morning.
Good morning.
If you guys would go ahead and stand. Thanks for getting out this early, early Sunday morning. I read this scripture this week, and it's a scripture you've heard over and over again, and it encouraged me in that God is able to do beyond our imagination. He is able to do beyond what we can ask, what we can think. And Paul says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness and life and power that comes from God. And now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. And I love that Paul also says that because of all this, because of his grace, because of who he is, because of the cross, because of everything, we can come boldly into his presence. We can come boldly, we can worship him, we can thank him, and we can praise him, that power is already within us that we can tap into at any moment. Amen. So I encourage you this morning to worship, to thank him, and just to surrender it all to him, knowing that he is a big, big God.
I
this week, you know, sometimes we doubt or we second guess the Spirit within us. And I had asked, Chris and I had made this decision for our family and felt good about it, still feel good about it, had a peace about it. But you know how you just start questioning, am I doing the right thing? And I had asked Chris Friday morning, I said, before we turn this in, submit this, do this, let's just, I want you to pray over it with me. And Chris, being the deeply spiritual man he is, says, I'm not praying over that. And he said, I will pray over you, but I'm not praying about something that God's already settled within my spirit. And I thought, that's what I needed to hear, because, you know, when the disciples were in the boat and there was the storm, and when Jesus, you know, they said, what are you going to do? They woke him from a slumber, and he said, peace be still. And he was speaking to the storm within their life. He was speaking to the storm, not what was going on around him, not the storm in the ocean and the sea. He was speaking to that storm, and that's what Chris reminded me of Friday morning, was that sometimes we just have to say to ourselves, peace be still. Remember who's within you. Remember that I don't have to always, you know, it's wonderful to get counsel and to get advice and to get that confirmation, and I think there's a time and a place for it. But there's nothing like knowing that you can tap into the Spirit within you and say, hey, peace be still. It's already within you. Isn't that good? So thank him this morning for that Spirit. Thank him this morning that he is your confirmation within, inside of you.
Father, we come so humbly, and more than This next song is about Calvary, and of course, this is the month where we celebrate Jesus being our sacrifice, being our ransom. And I was thinking this morning when we were going over it, you know, before Christ came, you had to work for your salvation. You were not worthy. You lived in constant condemnation. There was no attesting for yourself. But when Christ came, he didn't want any of that. He didn't want you to work. He didn't want you to try to make yourself worthy. He wanted a relationship. God wanted a relationship with us. He wanted to be our father, our friend, whatever we needed. And so Christ came to give us that peace and that security and that relationship. Praise God that we don't have to work for his relationship anymore. We don't have to work for our unworthiness. Praise God. Amen.
Savior alone, carrying the cross for all of my debts, he paid the cost. Salvation complete and forever I pray. Calvary covers it all. My sin and shame don't count anymore. All praise to the one who has ransomed my soul. Calvary covers it all. No power on earth, even the grave, can separate grace. He is faithful to save. Oh, his blood never fails. Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My sin and shame, they don't count. Don't count anymore. All praise to you.
At the beginning of the year, Buren gave us a challenge to write down one word and to analyze the teaching of Eagle's Way and the being concept through that word. And mine was trust. I wrote down trust. And, you know, I've had revelation after revelation of where I don't have trust. And I got to feeling really good. I got to feeling like I did something. I got somewhere. And then yesterday I came here for like 4 hours to learn this new song, work on some sound stuff. And I had this song playing in the background all the time, just kind of digging into my brain. And what I learned is that trust is going to be something that I'm working on all the time. But I shouldn't be scared of what that means. It's so scary to let go and give something up and not know where it's going to go. You know, your finances and the people that in your life, the trust and all that stuff, it's all just scary. And yesterday I just kept having this revelation of like, don't be scared of where this is going. The words of this song are very declarative in that I am giving all this to you right now. And I was like, I can't sing that. I haven't given it all up. And I just got really kind of insecure about it. And that's when he was like, don't be afraid of it. You can say all these words and make it your prayer that it becomes more and more real every single day. And don't be afraid of where you are now. Be looking forward to where you're going to be. And my perfectionism doesn't like that, but it's working, and I love it.
thank you for this morning. We thank you, God, that we can come boldly into your presence, Lord, that we can worship you, that we can thank you, that we can trust you with our lives, we can trust you with our hearts, Lord. I thank you for eyes, Lord, to see you, and we thank you, Lord, for ears to hear you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Good morning. How are you? Good job. Good word. And it's just 10:30. Or 9:30. Which is it? Some people think it's 9:30. But it's 10:30. Glad you put your clocks up ahead. Thank you for doing that. And I'm going to do a thing sometime with the government. I'm going to ask the president, whoever's running this time, if they'll campaign to have the clocks moved up on Sunday nights. It's where then people push them up for sure, but I don't know if I get that across or not. All right, should be interesting this morning. If you're here, if you're a guest, please fill out the connection card and place it in the envelope. And when you're going out, there's a tumbler on the information booth for you. Thank you for Eagles Way Church for being faithful and filling these out every week and keeping us in touch with you and you with us. I realized this morning when I got up that I had not done something that's critically important in my life and critically important for you. And that I prepare my messages, I do it two times. First of all, I write it on a notebook like this, but then I transfer this to a more legible notebook where I take my time and write it out a lot easier and better so I can read it. So I realized this morning I had not transferred this to that. So I'm not sure what this is going to say because some of this I can't even read. So we're going to do our best to try to remember what this was so that what that would have been will some way come through. And that will happen. How many believes Calvary covers it all? I'm glad that Calvary covers it all, and it covered me this morning. I just, you know, it'd be great. Would you do that? I love Jet. I love all my grandkids, but Jet's I just love him in a special way. He's so much like me. That's why I love him so much. We have a connection. And the other week, Jet comes home from school and the teacher writes thing in his paper said, Jet is talking too much. And so, thank you, David. Dusty said to Jet, said, Jet, the teacher says you're talking too much. He said, really? She said that, really? Where'd she get that? And I thought, that's if we could just be that way as believers, really? You think I'm really that? That's not me. I'm who God says I am. Calvary's covered it all. Man, if we could take the theology of a little child and live it out, I am created in the likeness and the image of God. Aren't you glad of that? That's, you know, you're not even your behavior. You're not even your behavior. You're who God says that you are. Are you so happy for that? Now, I don't mean you can go out and just sin and get by with it because there's consequences to it. But if you believe who you really are, then your behavior will match up to that. You'll be who you really are when you know who you really are. See, if you believe that, you'll behave that way. If you believe that, you'll act that way. If you don't believe that, you won't behave that way. If you don't believe that, you won't act that way. But if you believe who you really are, that you're created in the likeness and the image of God, and Christ is in you, the hope of glory, that you've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless you live. And it's not you that's living, but Christ is living in you. And the life that we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. This is what this season is all about. Jesus came, and I wrote this down. The mission of Jesus was not to begin a Christian religion. His mandate was to reveal and redeem in man the image of God. His mandate was to come to reveal in you who the image of God really is, that you have been created in his likeness and in his image, and that's what he came to reveal. You see, religion's done a lot to just tear down the whole, you know, religion kind of boils it down to where Jesus came to die on the cross, save us from our sins, that's when we die, we go to heaven. How many know it's way bigger than that? See, that's why that Eagles Way Church is not a denomination, and if we gave ourselves a name, and we have given ourselves a name, Eagles Way, but we've also given ourselves a little description of who we are, and we call ourselves an interfaith church. An interfaith that we believe that we embrace all the faiths. I believe that every religion, every denomination on the face of the earth is of God and has something to give. How many believe that? Some of you were raised Methodist, some of you were raised Baptist, some of you were Catholic, Presbyterian, some of you heathen, some of you knew nothing, but we all came from somewhere. I'm going to share a little bit about where I came from shortly, and I'm going to have a little fun with that. I grew up Pentecostal, and if you can survive my generation of being Pentecostal, you can survive anything. If you can survive it, you can survive anything. You know, even Dusty had to come up with some residue of Pentecostalism that was, boy, it was tough. And I'm thinking about how we're raising our grandkids such better ways. They're getting the good burin. Dusty had to ask Jesus in her heart when she sinned. She had to repent and ask the Lord to forgive her. I told her one time, I don't even believe you're saved. I mean, how many has had teenagers? And when she got to be a teenager, oh my gosh, I thought I had 10 kids, but I only had one. I'm trying to raise a teenager, but I told her one time, I don't even believe you're saved. And I thought, what terrible theology. But aren't you glad we came through that? Aren't you? I guarantee you, my grandkids are so happy that Pastor Buren's not Pastor Buren. They're so glad that he got some understanding. How many believe that as time goes on, as you age, you should get smarter? You should know more than you knew 20 years ago. You should know more than you knew last year. This is a constant learning about God and who he is. And so what Jesus came to do, Jesus came to reveal who God is in us. Jesus didn't come to convince God about us. He came to convince us about God. He didn't come to change God's way of thinking about you. God's always thought about you the same way. He came to change how we think about God. And so this sign up here, being for this year, this is not a theme for our year. This is a paradigm shift that we're not about doing, we're about being. Because if we're about being, then our doing will be much more effective. If I live out of who I am, my doing will have more impact. It will be more effective, and I will see things happen in a greater way. And we got it from Acts chapter 17. Begin reading at verse 19. They took him to the high council of the city. Come and tell us about this new teaching, they said. You are saying some rather strange things, and we want to know what it's all about. Apostle Paul. It should be explained that all the people from Athens, as well as the foreigners in Athens, seem to spend all their time discussing the latest ideas. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your shrines and one of your altars and this inscription on it to the unknown God. This God, whom you worship without knowing, is the one I'm telling you about. He is a God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. I mean, you're glad about that. One man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. For in him we live and move and exist or have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol. We are His offspring. And since this is true, it doesn't get any clearer than that. Does it? Does it get any clearer? We are God's offspring, that we are His sons, His daughters, His family. We belong to Him. He created us in His likeness, in His image. And in Genesis chapter 2, let me give you, you know, we talk about Genesis a lot. I love Genesis, but it's really a story about restoration. It's not really about creation. It's more about the restoration of the earth and the creation of the earth. And I'm not going to get into all that this morning. We talk about that a lot. But Eden, the word Eden, this is what Eden means. Pleasure, delight, a house of pleasure. Pleasure, delight, a house of pleasure. And God created man, and He places him in this garden. And it says in verse 4, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, neither wild plants nor grains were growing on the earth, for the Lord had not sent rain to water the earth, and there were no people, listen, there were no people to cultivate the soil. That leaked out at me, because this is God's creation in perfection. This is God's creation with no sin, with nothing that could harm it or destroy it anyway. Yet He said there wasn't anybody to cultivate. Even in its perfection, God wanted Adam and Eve to cultivate what was already there. Cultivate what was already there. Even though it was perfect, it needed care. It needed attention. And see, what this message is about this morning is that God's placed in us an Eden. And He's given us the responsibility to cultivate this every day of our lives, that we are to cultivate what's in us. And so He says, instead, springs came up from the ground and watered all the land. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed breath into the life of man's nostrils, and he became a living person. Then the Lord God planted a garden in the Eden in the east, and there He placed the man He had made. The Lord made all sorts of trees to grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful, to produce delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, He placed the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God just said, leave the knowledge of good and evil alone. As long as you just eat the tree of life, all will be well with you. You don't need to fool with evil. You don't need to know evil. You don't need to think evil. You don't need to talk about evil. You don't need to see evil. You don't need to believe in evil. You don't need to believe in the devil. You don't need to trust the devil. You all need to believe in God. And if you just won't believe in evil and you won't think about evil and you just think about good, and you're seeing good in everybody else, and you see good in everything you go, every place you go, everybody you see, and you see that everybody's made in God's likeness and God's image, you won't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and you'll be okay. That's simple. Just think good thoughts. Just think good things. Ain't this simple? Just think good thoughts. Just think good things. Ralph and I was talking this week, and my dad, this past December, has been gone 17, 18, 19 years. I lose track. It's been so long now. But Daddy had what we call cornbread theology. And he just said it like he believed it, like he saw it like it was. And I remember him preaching one time. He was preaching about the man that the demons were cast out of. And all these demons came out of this man. And these demons went into a herd of swine, a herd of pigs. And they ran off a cliff. And they drowned. And Daddy said, even a pig won't live with a demon. Even a pig doesn't want to live with thoughts of evil and bad stuff. And if a pig doesn't want to do that, we shouldn't want to do that. The pig had more sense than the human beings of that day. They said, we're not going to live with this stuff. Anyway, that's some of these. Then in this Eden, there was a river from the land of Eden, and it watered the garden and divided into four branches. The first branch was called Pishon, which means bringing forth. That was a river. It flowed around the entire land of Havilah, where the gold is found. The gold of that land is exceptionally pure. Onyx stone, everything was just good. And the second branch called the Gihon River, which means refreshing. First he said there's a river that brings forth stuff, and then there's a refreshing river. And the second branch called from the land of Cush. The third called the Tigris, which means strength. And the fourth branch is called Euphrates, which means fulfillment. You think that may be what Jesus meant when he said, if you drink of this water, out of your belly, out of your innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. And there will always be something fresh bringing forth in your life. And there will always be a refreshing happening. And there will always be strength coming to bring you to a state of being fulfilled. The river's now in you and in me. Not a river. He said rivers of living water shall spring up in you unto eternal, everlasting life. That's what we were created for. In Psalms 36 and 8, he said, you feed them from the abundance of your own house, letting them drink from your river of delights. Psalm 37, trust in the Lord and do good, then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he'll give you your heart's desires. Yes, sir. Wow. Yes, sir. He'll give you your heart's desires. I don't know of anybody whose heart's desires is not to be happy and joyful and to be delightful. How many know it's okay to have fun? A.W. Tozer, I grew up Pentecostal. I love my Pentecostals. I learned some things about God being Pentecostal that a lot of people don't know. One, he's powerful. He's a powerful God. I learned that in my Pentecostal roots. There is a power of the Holy Spirit that lives within me. But there were some other things that weren't so good because you couldn't have fun. Fun and godliness kind of didn't blend together. They didn't mesh. They didn't go together. Matter of fact, if you laughed too much, something was wrong with you. And one of the favorite authors of the Pentecostal movement is a man named A.W. Tozer. There's not a Pentecostal person or minister who doesn't know who A.W. Tozer is. Anybody ever heard of A.W. Tozer? Now, all you Pentecostals raised your hand, and none of you Baptists or Methodists, you didn't know who A.W. Tozer was. This is what he said. Be sure your human feelings or desires can never be completely stifled. If they're forbidden, their normal course, like a river, they will cut another channel through the life and flow out to curse and ruin and destroy. God didn't come to stifle your desires. He didn't come to stifle fun. He didn't come to stifle joy and delight in your life. He just come to make it flow in the channel it should flow in and bring tremendous fulfillment in that channel. That when you do it God's way, how he originally intended, then it's awesome. Marriage is awesome when it flows in the right channel. The desires of marriage, God, intimacy, God's, it's all great when it's flowing in the proper channel. Life is great when it's flowing. Everything God created is good. Everything God created is good. And God, when he created, he said, and God saw it, and he said, it's good. And God created you, and he said, it's very good. Very good. And then Jesus comes to redeem man, to reveal man back, to let them know this is who you really are. This was your original being. This is who you are supposed to be. And we came up with five words, and I just want to remind you of these five words this morning. And if you'll do, and what I want you to hear, David Hitson, Dr. Hitson spoke this past Wednesday night. I encourage you to go and watch it online and listen to it online, whichever you want to do. But he talked about your health and your wealth, and he just did this awesome job about your health. And he did, and it's a great little testimony, surprise testimony he gives in there about how he came to Christ. And with all of his accomplishments and everything that's happened, and we had no idea. We had no idea he had who he really was. And when he shared his testimony, but the one thing he shared about, the most important thing that's ever happened to him in his life was getting to know God. With everything else, it wanes in comparison to just getting to know God. And God created, and this, can I give you some Bureauism right quick? I'm going to give it to you anyway, where you like. Here's some Bureauism. It took 6 days for God to restore the earth. It took 6 days. And after he restored it, he rested on the Sabbath. I believe we have 6 days a week to restore, reshape, renew, and refashion our being. So we come here on Sunday to celebrate who we are. To celebrate who we are. To rest in his promises, to rest in his blessings, to just rest in God. But I've got 6 days because you see, in here, it's not very difficult to think right. In here, it's not very difficult to believe right. In here, it's not very difficult to see right. But how many know this? It's not quite like this out there? Right? Because out there, there are things called TVs, social media, Facebook, Twitter, heathens, crazy people, negativity, judgmentalism. It's out there, big time. Big time it's out there. And so I'm bombarded with that out there. Not in here, out there. Out there. And so I got 6 days a week I'm battling that. But I got five things if I'll do this every single day. And I believe we got to do it every single day. Number one, you got to be a giver. You were created to give, not to get. We're not getters, we're givers. We're created to give. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. He came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He came to give, and Jesus came to give, give, give. And if we every day would arise and we would give something, give something, give something, give your time, give a word of kindness, give a word of encouragement. Just make sure every day you give out of your being to some other being. Do you give? Because we're called to give. And giving is one of our grasp words. Give. I want to commend you. This year our giving has surpassed all the givings of the past 5 years. In the last 5 years we've not had the giving we've had in the last several months here. Thank you for your giving. And it's like everybody's just going, you know what? Let's just all buy into this thing. Let's just everybody give. And it's not the amount. It's that everybody gives. And because everybody's giving, I'm not worrying. You're not putting stress on me. I play golf better when you give. And I'm not out there thinking about, oh, we're going to pay the bills. You make my life much easier. Thank you. Thank you. Say thank you to yourself. Giving. Renewing. Renew wing. David used this grasp thing Wednesday night, and he said renewing. And I love what he said about renewing. He said live, love, laugh, have fun. Do you know a merry heart doeth good like a medicine? And renewing, every day I need to renew when I wake up and I go, you know, I feel like this, but I'm not that. So I'm going to replace that what I'm about to say about myself with what I should say about myself. And I'm going to say about myself what I should say about myself. I had a doctor's appointment Thursday of a 6-month checkup. And you know, first thing they want to do is weigh you. Their scales are always wrong. I can't believe their scales. I knew when I was approaching it. You know, it didn't even look like a scale. So it couldn't be right. And so I'm you know, walking toward the scale, just real confident. And the closer I get to the scale, the more I'm thinking about, you know, I ain't going to like what I'm about to hear. I'm just programming. I'm just thinking about it. So I got up there and I stood on the scales, and sure enough, I got just what I said I was going to get. She said, yep, a few pounds. I said, yep, muscle weight. Been working out. All muscle weight. Left there feeling a lot better. I could have gone, and I wasn't going to moan and groan. I just changed my mind about what I thought about it. And let's imagine how, and Dr. Hitson came in and said, I heard you say about your muscle weight. He said, that's a pretty good one. I said, makes you feel better, doesn't it? Yep, makes me feel better. Renew your mind. Attending. Pay attention. Gosh, I wished in school I'd paid attention. Joey and I were talking about this morning. Cause we was talking on the deck last night about school. We was talking about our grandkids and just about school and how great they do in school, how much they love school, how smart they are, all this. And I wish that my mother could sit on a deck and say, oh, he was so smart in school. He was so smart. We were so proud of him. I can't believe how smart he was. Dusty said, none of her kids has ever made a B. They're all A's. And if my mother just could have said, if he could just made all D's, I'd just been so proud of him. And I just, you know, and I hated school. I hated to study. And then, you know, but I never found out who I was. And when I found out who I was, I've spent my last 40 years of my life studying. Doing something I despised. And now it's something that I love more than anything else in life. Isn't that amazing? Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Pay attention. Paul said to Timothy, pay attention to preaching. Pay attention to the reading of the scriptures. Pay attention to teaching. Pay attention. I heard that once in school. I heard it a million times. Pay attention. Pay attention. Listen, Jesus would say to his disciples, pay attention. Sometimes he'd say, verily, verily, I say, when he said verily, verily, it meant, hey, he's like taking your cheeks. He's saying, pay attention. This is important. This is critical in your life. How many know there are certain things in life that's a lot more critical than other things? I got to pay attention. If I will just pay attention to every part of my being every single day, if I'll give some attention to it, I'll see some things that I need to do. I'll see some things I need to change. I'll see some things that I can improve on. Just paying attention. There's a story in the Old Testament. And Solomon, he built a lot of great things. And Solomon was one of the most wealthiest people who ever lived. He had everything. And a lady came to see him called the Queen of Sheba. And she came, and all of these things she looked at, and they were so awesome. But then she said something. There's one thing that got her maybe more than anything else. She said, when I see your servants and how attentive they are and how they attend to the things they're doing. The half was not told me. But she noticed how attending they were. Aren't you glad you pay attention when you're driving? Don't you wish everybody did? Attending. And then there's the S, serving. 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 Find somewhere, someone, serve some way, somehow. Just do something. And last but not least is praying. Praying. Praying is not the length of time you pray. Praying is just praying. We've talked about the Lord's Prayer. We've talked about Psalms 23, which is not to be read at funerals. Even though it's read at funerals, on the back of the bulletins, it's everywhere you go. And he talks about you passing through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say you're dying. You're passing through it. But the 23rd Psalm is really a prayer. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's praying a prayer of who you are and who God is to you. And then the Lord's Prayer is how we pray, our Father in heaven, forgive us our debts and da-da-da. But then there's another prayer. You want another really, really good prayer to pray every day? Real short prayer? Called the prayer of Jabez. How many remembers the prayer of Jabez? Just one, nothing's ever said, nothing, just one little thing is said about him. But it's one of the most powerful things in the Word of God. And Jabez prayed a simple prayer. Kidding, come. He said, God, bless me indeed. Say, bless me. Bless me indeed. I want you to just pause and think about that for a moment. If every day you look toward heaven, you look toward the spirit world, you look toward your God, and you just simply said to him, bless me, God, indeed. If your child came up to you and said, bless me, what would you do? Not bless them out, which you do a lot. You'd bless them. May your hand of power and protection be upon me. Bless me, Lord. May your hand of power and protection be upon me. Prosper my endeavors. Prosper my endeavors. And keep me from evil. Now, I want you to get this, because let me tell you something. This prayer will change your life. Say, bless me. Bless me indeed. May your hand of power and protection be upon me. Prosper my endeavors. Keep me from evil. What a prayer. What a prayer to pray on your way to work. What a prayer to pray numerous times. How many times a day could you just say that simple prayer? And God acknowledges it and will do exactly what you ask him to do. Acknowledge him in all of your ways. He'll direct your paths. You're here today to know that every single person here has been created in God's likeness and God's image. And you've always belonged to him. And you just need to be awakened to that more and more and more and more. And Christ came to do that. That's why he came. To die the death that you don't have to die. To pay the price you don't have to pay. To give his life that you don't have to give. What it's all about. I just got to wake up. I want you to stand with me. This morning is the sacrament of healing. And if you're here today and you just need a touch in your body, your being, your whatever, your mind, just come and stand across the front here and let us pray with you. If you're here today and you just need to make a commitment to Christ, you need to make a recommitment. You just need to say, Lord, here I am. Now, we sang that song, I'm just coming to surrender all. You've did all this for me. I'm just going to come and give to you my being, my life. Spencer called me last night, and he's in rehab. He cracked his hip and had a partial replacement, and his voice just cracked last night when he called me. He just, I mean, it was a plea for prayer like I've never heard Spencer plea. And I want to pray for him this morning. I want to pray for Nora again and others. But just come on down. Let's pray for you that what you need will be brought about. He is who he says he is. We are who we say we are. We say it in the right way. As the elders are coming to just do what the scripture says, to anoint with oil. The prayer of faith would save the sick, and the Lord would raise them up. Going to pray for Marcia. She's going on a medical missions this Saturday for a week, doing some operations in Haiti. And thank you for that's part of using your gifts and serving and giving. I don't think they're going to pay you for that over there, are they?
No,
they don't. I've been over there. They've never paid me anything for going over there. But it's like doing the most joyous, fulfilling things you can do. So, Father, we thank you for Marcia. We thank you for the gifts that are in her. Thank you, God, that she's willing to go and give these gifts. And we just pray, God, for the team and that you be there with them in a special way. Overshadow them with protection. Your guardian angels go before them and behind them. Just surround them, Lord, with ministering spirits. And may everything, Lord, go well. The operations be successful. And see just a lot of great, great things happen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. As our ushers are preparing this morning, you can begin receiving our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. A lot of important information that is in your bulletin. This Saturday is a huge Saturday around here. It's the third Saturday of the month. So if you want a way to use your S, your serve, Rushed and Hope is available. We're doing a work day here, rain or shine. We're doing a work day inside and outside. So actually, if it's raining, we probably won't do the outside part. But need air, all hands on deck at all possible. That way you will be prepared for our chicken and eggs lunch next Sunday, right after service. Chicken sandwich, and then the children's EWC kids egg hunt will be right after that, so you want to plan for that. God, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can come to your house. Lord, that we can bring our first fruits. We can bring our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, our alms. Lord, we can serve. Thank you, Father, Lord, for each and every person that has. Bless them. In Jesus' name. Stand and let's worship.
Taste of the time.